Lekut Sichas Chelik Beis Parsha Sekev. The Rebbe tells us, "Handy Gesedra Parsha Sekev." The sixth Parsha Sekev is Eina from the Shiftin Mechemta. It's one of the seven Parshios, or the seven Haftoros, more precisely, of comfort, of conciliation. Those that come after Tisha B'Av, but didn't know the Haftoros Zayin and Inin from Nechama. And the Rebbe clarifies, not only is it the case of the Haftoros that the portions from the prophets that we read are comforting, that they're about topics of comfort, the Eich Tisedrish, but even the Parshios themselves have a dimension of comfort. Verum. The Haftoros Zayin Doch Berubam Meina Parsha. And that's because, in general, Haftoros have what to do with the Parsha. So even if that's the case, that the comforting speaks, or the Haftorah speaks about the comforting of the redemption, that the Parsha itself will also speak about the Gula. In truth, says the Rebbe, the entire Torah speaks about redemption. Given that's the case, that the only person who is truly free is one who is engaged in Torah study. Through engaging in Torah study, through engaging in the path of Torah, the neshama becomes freed from the exile of the body and the animal soul. And through that, is the body freed from exile in a simple sense. Nor in ganz Torah red sich wegen anderen Yonim. Und durch sie ist von der Gula. But in general, Torah speaks about things which are not necessarily directly related to redemption, but through engaging in those things, one comes to the redemption. Aber, in the Sidjus, von Shevin Lechemta, red sich wegen Gula allein. But the Parshios, the seven Parshios of comfort, those speak about the Gula itself. Men gefind sich lach jetzt der in Golus. It's bechdei to declare in the Minna Gula, get the fear to verstehen dem Golus mit der Siba von dem Golus. We're currently present, says the Rebbe, in exile. So in order to understand redemption, we first need to understand exile and why it is that we are in exile. When b'shas ben veis, the Siba from the Golus, and when we know the reason why we're in exile, Vesmen Vitsu Matakin Zayin the Siba will know how to deal with the cause. Meaning, if we know the cause for a problem, we can address it. When Bashasman is Matakin the Siba, that the main is Takin Oich the Mesubav. And when the cause, when the root problem is diagnosed and fixed, then we'll also have the ability to deal with the negative outcomes of whatever the root cause is, and thereby we come to the redemption. For example, if you have somebody who's physically ill, as there is a chile, and this eich, if a person knows A, that they're ill, and B, they know what their illness is, if they're gained, if the person will go to a doctor. As there is a chile, the person goes to the healer because they know that they're ill. And he needs to know what to tell the healer. In order to know what is it that he's sick with. And so when the person or the doctor at least knows what the person is sick with, the doctor, the healer, will know what medication, what healing modes to treat the person with, and thereby the person will be healed. The idea of a service, as there is a chile, is in vasen krankheit pashtet. A person's knowledge that they're ill, and knowing the nature of their illness, the idea alein the shen halbe refuah. The knowledge itself is already a partial cure. On zivet bringin mit der zeit, ich die andere halbe refuah. And with time, knowing what the illness is, will bring a person to the full healing, as it then in ganzen gesund. The person will become all better. Mit der yedia, was mit der klete in nagolus, und was sein siba. So, in a similar fashion, by knowing why it is that we're in galus, what's the reason for why it is that we're in galus, heip zich shayna on the gula. That already helps bring about the redemption from visindik, was der galus is, because when we know what the exile is, Zucht men wie es zu heilen on a reskin der fun at Eretz Tev Rechav. We're able to heal ourselves and we're able to leave exile and go to an expansive and good place. The expansive good land, which is not only the physical expansive and good land, but it's also a place in mind, a place in consciousness. The Shasti Yidden, Zayin Lerangi Kumen, in Eretz Tev Rechav, Zemer Shemol. When the Jewish people entered the desert for the first time, Zayin Zephir Durchigangen a Gris in Midbar. They first traversed the great desert. Und dann Zayin Zephir in the Midbar and Ungekumen Eretz Israel. And only then did they leave the desert and come into the land of Israel. Maisa of this Simin Labanu. The stories that happened to our forefathers are a paradigm or a sign for what will happen to the children. Das was der Tere der Zeltums, wegen dem Midbar, in welche die Jiden haben sich gefunden. Eide sein gekommen, kein Eretz Israel. The fact that the Torah tells us the Jewish people were in a desert before they came to Israel is das simin lebanim. That's a sign, that's a paradigm for the children. As euch der galus, in welchem wir gefinden sich jetzt der, that also the exile in which we are currently present is gleich zum Midbar. It's just like a desert. In welchem die Jiden haben sich gefunden damals. Just like the desert in which the Jews were then. Is die Idee was mir wollen wissen, wegen dem Midbar. In welchen Jiden haben sich gefunden dämmelt, was das ist eure Idee wegen dem Golus, in welchen wir gefunden sich heint, durch den wollen wir wissen, wie er soll dem Golus zu heilen. So by understanding the character of the desert that the Jewish people were in then, which is really a paradigm and a symbol for the desert, for the exile that we're in now, by understanding, by getting to the bottom of the nature of the exile, we can understand how it is to heal the exile that we're in. In Ha'itikah Sedra, in Parsha Sekev, Als Eineh from the Yeshiva Nechemta, as it is one of the seven parshios of comforting, Der Zeltman Vegan de Midbar. It tells us about the desert. Der Posuk Batzeichen de Midbar mit Nomin, be Midbar HaGadol Vanir Nochasar, v'akrov v'tzimoyin asher ein mayim. The Torah tells us about the desert with the adjectives, that it is the great and awesome desert, a desert which is filled with snakes, burning snakes, scorpions, and thirst wherein there is no water. Thus and alts verschiedene protein wegen der Midbar. These are all various details of the desert. Und euch wegen heintige Golos, and also about this Golos. If you're gesagt, as previously said, seien die Prote haideas wegen dem Golos ami ein fun nechama. The detailed knowledge of the Golos is a sort of comforting. From durch der Yedia, weil mir wissen, was man darf heilen, und er ist von Golos zu Eretz Tev Rechav. Because through knowing what the nature of the exile is, we can go out of the exile to a good and expansive land. So now the Rebbe is going to explain what are all these adjectives. You have the great and awesome desert full of the snakes and scorpions. What do these adjectives symbolically mean? What do they mean in terms of the exile nowadays? The Rebbe tells us, Midbar is an art was nitkein Moshev Adam. The desert refers to a place where people do not live. It's a wilderness, a barren place. Nitkein Yishev Menshin. People don't live there. Zoktev in Midbar. And the Torah tells us of this wilderness, it's not just a wilderness, but rather it's Midbar Agodl, Agurisa Midbar. It's a big desert. The Remakam and Midbar was Nitkein Mensuch Yishuv is Gresif in the Art for Yishuv in the Adam. The place of the wilderness, which is not a place in which people live, is greater than the place in which people live. There is more wilderness than there is settled territory. Adam Geit Oif Yidin. Now, when we say that people don't live there, what sort of people are we referring to? We're referring to the Jewish people. Atam Krim Adam, like the Gemara in Yevamos, I believe that Samach Bey says, Ayin Shom. Vide Shalah is Mevar, like the Shalah explains. Adam Miloshin Adame Le'elyon. What does Adam mean? So the Torah tells us that the human is called Adam because he's Adam Min Ha'adama. That the human is ultimately made of earth, is composed of earthy substance, of earthy material. But the Shalah explains that there are certain people, And in this case, he's saying the Jewish people are adame le'elyon. They're called Adam because they are similar to the divine. They are the manifestation of the divine, or they have the capacity to be the manifestation of the divine down below. Jewish people are compared to the higher man who's upon the throne, meaning Hashem, as Hashem manifests in an anthropomorphic form. Midbar Gadol, the great desert, their art versus Nitkein Moshev Bnei Adam, is Gresser, their art for Nishov Adam. The great desert, which is the place in which people do not live, is greater than the place in which people do live. The Yerzakhtan Pasol, the Torah tells us, Ki Atem Hama'at Mikol Ha'am. You are the smallest of all nations. Yidin Zainin Aminderheit von Aleph Elke. The Jewish people are the most minuscule of all nations. Azeich b'yidin gufa, zayin di yidin velech hitin ap tere mitzvahs. V'yizdav tzu zayin leis atul fisha, noch nit d'reif. And the Rebbe observes that just as it's the case that the Jewish people are the smallest of all nations, in a similar fashion, the Jewish people who keep Torah mitzvahs are a relatively small number of the Jewish people. The erste Wort, welchen der Pratzah bezeichnet den Golus, is Midbar HaGadol. The first adjective that the Torah uses to characterize, the exile, is the Great Desert. The erste Sibbe, on the erste Trepp von der Yerida, the very first reason, and the first step on the descent, and the first step of the ladder down towards descending into exile, von welcher es fängt sich an, der Galus, where it is that exile begins, is also in half the Arumike Welt, größer von sich. It's viewing the world around us, the world around you, as greater than you. Min haltem Yishuv Yidin in Yiddishkeit, far kleinemart. Our perspective is such that the Jewish people and Judaism is a small place. On the Arumike Welt and the world around us, the Midbar Amim, the wilderness of the nations, Fagruisenart. We take that as a great place, Agresser Zach from Yidden, which is greater than the Jewish people. The MS can kein Zach in their Welt, the Tabin can Shlita Iber Yidden. In truth, nothing in the world can control the Jewish people. Adrab. Alzain Botel to Yidden. Everything is nullified relative to the Jewish people. There's Arctic Aftera. Like the Aftora tells us, v'hoyu malachim umnayich v'soyseim minikisayich. And in the future to come, kings will be the nurses and princesses will be the nursemaids of the Jewish people. And with the Gemara Zog, like the Gemara in Masechas Brachas tells us, Eifin Pasuk, on the Pasuk in Dvarim Chavches, v'yo kal ami ha'oretz, ki shem havaye nikra alecha, and all the nations of the earth shall see that the name of Hashem is called upon you, and they shall stand in awe of you. So the Gemara Darshins, Mesechas Brachas, Eilu Tfilin Shebereish. What does it mean that nations will see that the name of Hashem is called upon you? They'll see the Tfilin Shebereish, they'll see the Tfilin of the head. The Shas, even Kop, is by Inferan Deshma Yisrael of Elikin of Eichon. When a Jew has on their head or in their head the awareness of here, Jewish people, that Hashem is our God, Hashem is one. In Zayin Seichel is a Rum Genomen mit dem Wissen. And one's intellect, one's mind, is completely absorbed in that perspective. As the Ebeshir is the einzige Balabayis of the ganze Welt, that Hashem is the one and only master, is the one and only owner of the entire universe. Demolt is Viro Kalame, or it's Viro Mekom, Al Zain and Batal Frame. When a person has that perspective, when a person has their priority straight, when a person understands that Hashem is truly in control, then that perspective is a winning perspective, and people understand that perspective, people react to that perspective, and therefore they do not stand in the way of somebody who walks with Hashem and has that perspective. Aber, b'shas machta cheshbon. But when somebody makes a calculation, Midbar Gadol, when a person starts viewing the world around them as the great desert, the great scary wilderness, Egeta Hashivas their Welt, when a person begins to give the world importance, Ertainet, they maintain, they say, as the Welt is Gadol, when Er is Katam, at the world is big and they are small, Uvemela, Shrekta the Shela, and therefore they ask the question, Miyakim Yaakov ki katan. How can Jacob, how can Yaakov stand up? How can the Jewish people stand up? How can they arise, given they are small, given they are not numerous? Dishe Lagufa, this question itself, they're given chashivis to the world, giving importance to the world, that's nachbayim if a golus ahelem v'hester. That creates golus for a person, that creates concealment. As the world can hob in the balabatishkait debrim, that makes it such that the world can begin to control you. Das is as chalos hagolus. That is the beginning of the exile. Ober, v'negedeng tezat becher tonu mikol amim. But when one has the perspective that you, Hashem, have chosen us from all the nations, v'reimam tonu, and have exalted us, have raised us up, v'erter farkinim nispal, then one will not be impacted, will not be impressed, or will not be overtaken by anyone. This is the kaziyden zayin hecher from alamin, knowing that the Jewish people are higher than all. Undamult is netakin galus bayin, and then internally one is not in a state of exile. The ibishu gitin parnasa, one knows that Hashem provides for them. Ekan unfair in zayin gesheft al beidah kateria, and therefore one can run their business according to the Torah way. And splay bayim tzayit if he's in kateria, and they can also have time to set aside for Torah study. From them vaser nemt on the welt from it begadl, but if one takes the world as a great desert, can come to a weiter de kirida. It can end up, they'll come to a further descent, nit nor midbar gadol, nor oich banayr. Not only do they view the world as great, as big, but also awesome, scary. Gadol meant, great, big, means, as yener is gresher von im, that the other is greater than me, is bigger than me. But nonetheless, I'm at seas from the atzmi from the middle of kolapoches is erich. Even though the other is bigger than me, I still exist. But awesome, scary means as erhot moire faryenim, that a person has fear of the other. Vayalerechint as yenerhot ashlita on amacht ibrim. It means that you have fear of the other because you reckon, you consider that the other has control over you. B'shas eriz machshiv der welt b'lois al smidber gadol. When one merely views the world as a great desert, as a big scary desert, is norven or kumt in beryum mitvelt in irin yonim vert in the spolfer. Only when one comes in contact with the world, when it comes to conflict with the world, do they become scared of the world. There is in Zayin Dalad Ames, but one is in their own space, in their own domain, they stand strong. Aber, b'shasar denkt, as die Welt is a midbar gadol v'neira. But when a person thinks that the world is a great and scary desert, is a fila v'negefinzich in Zayin Dalad Ames, then even when one is in their own space, a person is in shul, they're in yeshiva, or they're even at home. Even then, a person is scared of the world. The person is afraid to open the filter mitzvahs. Er tzittert, he shudders. Tomer vet divel zich der visin der fun. Maybe the world will find out that I'm doing mitzvahs. Maybe the world will find out that I'm a proud Jew. And then what will the goyim say? What will other people say? From there, a person can fall to a lower descent, the place of the snake. In the Sefer Erkei Kinuyim, bring there as nochosh ersei cham. He says that the snake has a hot venom. Der Gifra Nochosh is a hasten. The Rebbe just translated Yiddish that the snake has a hot venom. Thus made, meaning to say, as er hoib zichon zu kochen in dem koch und hitz von Welt, that not only is it the case that a person thinks that the world is greater than them, and not only are they scared of the world, even though they're not in their confrontation with the world, but they begin to be passionate about the things the world is passionate about. Und durch dem, was hot a koch in Welt, and given that the person is passionate about the world, their passion for holiness diminishes. Therefore, one can come in tsunach agresirida sarath, and thereby a person can come to even a lower descent, which is the burning snake. Their koch in welt veit bayim azoy stark. A person's passion for the world becomes so strong, as nit nor vazdas min mait im koch in kedusha. Not only is the case that it diminishes their passion for holiness, nor efer benten ganz in dem koch von kedusha. It completely burns up any passion that a person had left for the domain of holiness. And then can come into nachan gresseri the akrav, and from there a person can come to even greater descent, which is symbolized by the scorpion. They can akrav bring their kekenuim as arsi is kar. Of the scorpion, erkekenuim tells us that its venom is cold. The gift from akrav is kalt. It's Yiddish for the scorpion's bite is cold, or its venom is cold. Das is eriger for nachshon sarav, and that's much worse then the snake and the burning snake. Ru. Shas or hota kochen heats. Hagam, this is by in velt shazachin. So long as a person has passion, so long as a person has heat for something, even if it's the case they're passionate about worldly things, aber das is a bevise of lebedekait. But that shows that they're alive. Bemele kem das umbeiten oif achayis una kochen dushan. So it can easily be redirected into a life and a passion for holiness. Aber, wenn is kalt, was das ist das Simen of Hefech von Leben. But one is cold, which and that symbolizes the opposite of life. Is das viel ärger? That's much worse. Val derech hagiroin, the A's legabe shornagach. And it's much like the deficiency of the goat relative to the goring ox. And what's that? So the Eber Shab explains in Quenches HaTefillah Perichas, this is based on the mind of the Alter Rebbe Kototeya, that we say in Tanya, or the Alter Rebbe tells us in Tanya, that everyone has a Nefesh HaBahamis. Everyone has an animal soul. So you might think the animal soul just means that we have animal impulses, but the Alter Rebbe tells us in Kototeya that I believe it's the mind of Olam Kiyakiv, that we don't just have an animal soul. There's not just one monolithic animal soul. There is a whole barn of possible animals, and your soul could channel one of them or many of them. Could be that your soul is the soul of an ox. And what's in your animal? Your animal is an ox. What does it mean for your animal to be an ox? It means that the person is very strong, very wild, very passionate, very intense. But then there's also the sheep, and the sheep is somebody who is very timid and quiet and goes with the flow. And the sheep is also very, very unfortunate, very problematic, because if a strong person comes along and tells the sheep to transgress mitzvahs and tries to brainwash the sheep in engaging in bad behaviors, then the sheep will just go along and say, well, that's what everyone's doing, that's what the leadership says, so I should do that too. And then what's the goat? The goat is very stubborn, and the goat is unmovable. The goat also violates boundaries in a way that an ox usually does not. But here we're focusing on the goat's stubbornness, and the goat typifies the stubborn animal. And sometimes stubbornness and coldness and intransigence is much worse than misdirected passion. Because as long as you have the passion can be redirected, but stubbornness is very often much harder to overcome. Now, moving onward in the pasuk, from them can come in tsunach agresa yirida. From there, a person can come to even a lower descent. Tsi mo'in, asher in mo'in. Thirst where there is no water. Afilu ven mol maila, is men im mo'irir. Durch den baskal v'chadeime, vide klet in chsedes. On his right bayim at tsi mo'in, is eich demolt in mayim. There are times at which, even if a person is sunken, even if a person is thick deep within problematic behavioral patterns and they have no passion, at times they'll be woken up. And there's the idea of the bas kol, the idea of these spiritual voices which are reverberating throughout the world and which sometimes our subconscious hears. And this spiritual voice, which reverberates throughout the universe, inspires a person. But nonetheless, even though there's this feeling of inspiration, a feeling of thirst for spirituality, a feeling of thirst for connection with Hashem, nonetheless, the person does not connect because ein moyim, there's no water. Mayim zu teira. The Gemara Bava Kama tells us that mayim, water, is a symbol for Torah. A person feels a strong longing, a strong spiritual thirst, but they don't know what the thirst is for. A person is thirsty, and they don't know what they're thirsty for. Person is so far that they don't have any connection to, and they don't know at all about the existence of holiness. Where does this all start from? From the Midbar God. It all begins with the great desert. Das was men is machshiv, men macht wichtig, the Midbar die Welt. A person takes as important the wilderness, the world. Das is the erste trap, that is the first step to Ali Ridis, to all descendants, these tomb all the way to Bitsimoin Asher in Moyin, the thirst where there is no water. Therefore is verstandigt, as if betaken sein, the Aliridis, therefore we understand that in order to correct all the descents, therefore betaken sein the erste Sibbe, a person needs to fix the first problem. Habin Ashtarkeit in Yiddishkeit, a person needs to have strength in Judaism. Gedenktet, as ata bechartonu mikola amen v'rimamtonu. They need to know that you, Hashem, chose us from all nations and raised us up. Undemot and then. Ve'et ben potter fin golus. Unigeit el eretz tev v'rechova durich Mashiach tzidkeinu v'mheira v'yameinu. Then a person will be saved, will transcend the exile, and they'll come into a good and expansive land through the Mashiach. There may have been verstehen the Gemara, and that helps explain the teaching of the Gemara in Brachas Daf Lamed Amud Beis. Nachosh koruch ala kevay lo yafsik. Then when a person is davening and there's a snake which is curling around one's heel, around one's foot, lo yafsik, they shouldn't stop davening. But akrav koruch ala kevay, if there is a scorpion which is surrounding one by davening, then they should stop. V'nehalt in mitten davening, o metamol nemte im on, a hitz von welt. When a person is in the middle of davening and they are grasped by some heat, some passion of the world, nochosh korech ala kevoi, which is symbolically the idea of the snake being wrapped around one's heel. Hagam is tig takanit, although in this case it's not a good thing, for the zegen liyafsik, nonetheless a person should not stop davening. A person should stop davening, they should keep davening. Seif kol seif, ultimately. Bibal der hotin zichayis, given that the person has passion, life in him. Vetim dem chayis, unkoch, mehapach zayin sukadusha. Person will ultimately transform that life and passion to holiness. But akrov korach alakeva, if a person has a scorpion wrapped around their heel, the person in the middle of davening and they're consumed by coldness. Hagam dos is nor korich ala kevon. Even though it is wrapped around the heel. The akrov is arsekar, the kal totem nit ungechapt in moyach velev. The coldness did not grasp the mind and the heart. Mernit vindi kvayim, it only has touched the exterior part of a person. It's only touched the person's heels. From this vegan, nonetheless, yafsik mitfilasi. A person should stop davening. Because if one can be grasped by coldness in the middle of davening, heder achayus, the absence of life, the absence of passion, is raiyas and ganser say their avodas in the kiddushin. That demonstrates that a person's entire spiritual service is not as it should be. Therefore, all mafsek zayin from them say their avodah, and therefore a person should cease engaging in that manner of spiritual service. And they should adopt a new path in spiritual service. The spiritual service with life, with life force, with passion. And where will a person get that passion? Through engaging in studying the interiority of Torah, Torah's interior dimension, which is the tree of life. Let's summarize the Sicha. Parshas Ekev is the second of the Sheva de Nechemta. It's the second in a series of Haftorah, which discuss comforting the Jewish people. And the Rebbe says that if the Haftorah discusses comforting the Jewish people from the exile, then it must also be the case that the Torah portion will have what to do with comforting the Jewish people from their exile. So how does Parshas Ekev comfort the Jewish people from their exile? So the Rebbe explains as follows. Very often, when a person is ill, or most often it's the case, that when a person is physically ill or spiritually ill or psychologically ill, there will be several steps that are necessary in order to allow a person to attain healing. The first step is that a person needs to understand that they're sick, to understand that they're ill. The second step is that a person needs to seek out the cure to heal themselves and understand, once they realize that they're ill, they need to understand why they're ill and then to figure out what the cure is. So Golos, the Rebbe tells us, is essentially a state of spiritual, of psychological illness. Golos is not primarily exile in geographical place. Golos is exile in spiritual place. Golos is alienation from core self, alienation from our life's mission, alienation from the people around us. And if we understand first that we are in a state of Golos, and that's not just a physical place, state of Golos. I mean, you can't get out of Golos by buying a plane ticket and going to Israel. It's a little bit more nuanced, a little bit more complex. I mean, first of all, if we understand that we're in a state of alienation, and then we understand where the alienation comes from, then perhaps we can cure the alienation. And the Rebbe says it's really all a matter of perspective, and he explains this symbolically using a pasuk in Parshas Ekev, which goes as follows. The pasuk tells us that Hashem took us to the desert, and the Torah characterizes the desert, the wilderness, the midbar, as follows. Bamidbar hagodol v'hanuyro, nochosh sorof v'akrov, v'tzimoin asher ein moyim. The wilderness is described, the Torah describes the wilderness as godel, as big, noira, as scary, and it's filled with nochosh, a snake, sorof, a snake with burning poison, akrov, a scorpion, and tzimoin, thirst, asher ein moyim, where there is no water. And as the Rebbe often does, the Rebbe interprets this pasuk symbolically and says that the various adjectives in the pasuk symbolize long-term or symbolize eternal spiritual truths. The midbar, the wilderness, is a place where people do not live, where Adam does not live. And what is Adam? Adam symbolizes Adam el Elyon, the human who aspires to be like the divine, the human who aspires to channel the divine. So Midbar is a place which is absent of such people, or which is not conducive for such people to be themselves, not conducive for such people to cultivate their spiritual qualities. That's the idea of the Midbar, of the wilderness. But now, the wilderness can exist But the question is, what is our perspective? How do we look at the wilderness? So we can note the wilderness's existence, but we can be unimpressed and we can be unfazed. Or we can view the midbar, we can view the wilderness as gadol. We can view the wilderness as this very big place, and that we're small relative to the wilderness. But at least when we're in our domain, when we're in our comfort zone, we can feel comfortable in expressing who we really are. But then one can begin to view the wilderness as nuyah, as awesome, as scary. And one becomes scared of the wilderness, and that scaredness enters a person's consciousness such that it impacts a person's behavior wherever they are, because the person is constantly in a state of terror, in a state of fear, and they've internalized the message of the wilderness, they've internalized the values of the wilderness, and they're afraid to be their true selves, even when they're in their own domain, even when they're in their own comfort zone. But then it can get worse. There can be the snake. Now, at this point, the wilderness is not only a force that is without, but the wilderness bites you and becomes a force that is within. Sfarim HaKadoshim tell us that the snake has a hot venom. What does that mean? It means that one's passion, one's heat, becomes diverted and subverted from passion about positive things, from passion about matters of holiness, into passion about the things that the wilderness thinks are important. And from there, it can get worse. One can go to the place of the Sarath. And what's the Sarath? The Sarath is the burning snake. It has burning poison, such that not only is it the case that a person has a little bit of passion, a little bit of heat for matters of the world, but rather that any passion they had for higher values, any passion they had for something that was beyond the wilderness, becomes completely consumed. And then it can get worse than that. And that's symbolized by the akrav, by the scorpion. And the scorpion, the Sfarim HaKadoshim tell us, has a cold venom. And what does it mean that it has a cold venom? So Rebbe explains that the coldness of the venom symbolizes a complete lack of passion, a death of passion. And Rebbe says that's much worse than having passion for the wrong things. Because at least so long as a person has passion for something, that passion can be rechanneled, can be diverted in a positive direction. But once a person has lost passion altogether, it's far more challenging to come to a place where a person will be passionate about anything, and the person needs much greater healing. And from there, a person comes to see ma'in, asher in ma'in, thirst with no water. That at times, when there are spiritual forces in the world which wake a person up and which make a person feel they're missing something in their life, they want more, even then, at such times, a person doesn't know where to go because they're so deeply stuck in the wilderness. And perhaps they and their family have been stuck in the wilderness for generations that they don't know that the Mayim, that the Torah path and the Torah study would be the way in which to heal their spiritual thirst, their longing for something more. And that is the Rebbe's long diagnosis of spiritual illness. The Rebbe's long diagnosis of alienation from core self, alienation from inner self, which people experience and which brings one into a state of inner exile. And where does it all begin? Where does this sorry story of devolution all begin from? The Rebbe explains it all begins from the Midbar HaGadol. It all begins from the great desert. When you view the wilderness, when you view the desert as something which is great, as something which is important, as something which has power, then you are vulnerable to it and you succumb to it. But if a person has the perspective of Ata Bechartanu, Mikol HaAmim, that you Hashem have chosen us above all nations, and that the Jewish people have a mission in this world to manifest higher consciousness, then no matter how big the wilderness may be, a person is not impacted by the wilderness A person is not scared off by the wilderness and ultimately transcends it. And this coheres with one of the Rebbe's core teachings, that our mindset is really what controls and what changes everything. And ultimately, exile is not about being in a certain place, but it's about a place in consciousness. And if we liberate our consciousness and we realize that we have a mission to manifest in this world, then any obstacles which stand in our way melt and cease to be.